finish any questions, but you're welcome meantime if you want to prepare me for plates and so on. Please go ahead with that. And over to Tim Barney, who is the leading researcher on this topic. Thank you, Tim Barney.
Honorable members. This is the structure of my presentation, but I think few caveats need to be in order before I start. Members kindly know that this is by no means an exhaustive, presentation. Given time constraints, the structure summary highlighting key issues emanating from the budget. So critical questions and those relating to the specificities of the budget itself should be directed to the directorate later on. I will start by providing a brief overview of the previous financial year, which is 2014-15, and then I will talk to the strategic overview and policy priorities for 2015-16 financial year, and then I will focus on the budget analysis, and then I will highlight key issues for consideration by the committee, and then I will conclude. Members will recall that during the 2014-15 financial year, the directorate marked its, the 2014-15 financial year marked the third financial year in which the ITIB operated under its new mandate. And as such, honorable members, during the 2014-15 financial year, as was the case during the previous reporting periods, the directorate continued to sort of engage in a review of its organizational structure and in order to align it with its new mandate and to meet the demands of a changing policy oversight environment. And as such, this necessitated that, there should be a renaming and reordering of two programs. And those programs in particular, Program 1 was renamed and is now called the Comprehensive Monitoring and Stakeholder Management Program. And then Program 2 was renamed and it became the Administration Program. More so, towards the end of the 2014-15 financial year, to ensure that the Directorate investigates without fear, favor, or prejudice, the Directorate's integrity mechanisms were enhanced with the establishment of the Integrity Strengthening Unit, the ICU, and the Vetting Unit. And also, in order to build the internal capacity of the medium-term expenditure framework, despite the budget cuts that we saw in other departments, the Directorate reported in this 2015-16 APP that the National Treasury has reinforced funds to grow the National Specialized Investigative Team, the NSIT. Then if you look at the finances, as far as the previous year's budget is concerned, the Directorate received a main appropriation of 234.7 million, which remained unchanged during the assessment period. However, there were some shifts within programs and sub-programs, and those shifts indicated the role given time constraint. I won't go into details. Members can just look at their presentation. So those are the shifts during the assessment period that were inferred in the department. At the end of the third quarter of the 2014-15 financial year, members will see there that spending in the directorate was 135 million, or 57.5% of the available budget of 234.7 million. Members should note that the directorate had projected to spend 132.7 million. As opposed to 135 actual expenditure at the end of the quarter. And this resulted to a deviation of 17.7 million between the planned and the actual expenditure as indicated there. And then in percentage terms, at the end of the third quarter, although lower than planned spending was visible in all four programs, there was under expenditure in all four programs at the end of the quarter. Under expenditure was mostly notable under the labor studies program, which had spent 21.8% of the budget against projected drawings of 7.7%. So you can see that the variance is high there. And then in normal terms, the bulk of the load and plan spending was recorded under the Investigation Information Management Program, which is the core program of the Directorate. However, two main concerns can be highlighted at the end of the third quarter, and these are, firstly, overall lower than projected expenditure across all four programs we have alluded to. Secondly, there was high vacancy within the Investigation and Information Management Program, especially for investigators that perform the core mandate of the Directorate. And there was high vacancy rate within the senior management level. And then, as alluded to above in the previous slides, honorable members, at the end of the third quarter, there were two main concerns highlighted. Firstly, the Directorate recorded overall lower than projected expenditure across all four programs. Secondly, and of concern was the other expenditure notable in the Directorate's core program, which is Investigation Information Management, which earns 57.4% of its allocated budget against projected growth of 65.4%. And this trend of under expenditure in this program raises a number of questions on whether the Directorate can or cannot be able to deliver on its legislative mandate. The committee, therefore, I do think that we should kindly ask the Directorate about the measures it has put in place in order to ensure that no other expenditure is incurred during the current financial year, the 2015-16 financial year. As alluded to above, the Directorate made a number of shifts between our programs and staff programs. And the total bill of 25.3 million was moved during the adjustment periods, mainly to address shortfalls of funding for goods and services and machinery and equipment. For instance, funds were moved to more than two project items, which is contractual obligations, leave gratuities, and implementation of the asset management plan. In this case, then, honorable members, the Director should explain why there were so many shifts. Does this really reflect inadequate budgetary planning within the territory? More so, at the end of the third quarter of the 2014-15 financial year, there was high vacancy rate in the Directorate. The question then is whether these vacancies have been subsequently filled, and if not, how the Directorate is going to address that. The Directorate should be commended for submitting the vacancy status report at national and provincial offices on time, requested by the committee towards the end of the year last year. The Directorate indicated that some positions were advertised and in some positions studies were made. To this end, then, the question, the committee should require the Directorate to provide a short updated report indicating the number of positions that have been filled since 4 December 2014. Furthermore, the Directorate should be commended for having provided the committee with detailed report on filling of vacancies in the internal audit and financial environment as per the committee's recommendation in the last report. Nonetheless, the Directorate should explain to the committee whether by the end of the 2014-15 financial year, it was indeed able to build the required capacity within the audit environment. Correspondingly, the Directorate should explain which actions it has taken to address the skills gaps that were identified by the Auditor General in the Directorate's last year annual report. In its response to the committee's 2018 DPR, the Directorate indicated that the retention and recruitment policy is being finalized and will be adopted at the end of the next MENCO, and that as soon as this occurs, it will be sent to the committee. I think the Directorate should really provide a feedback on that. And then, as indicated there in that slide, the two NDP outcomes specifically related to IPID are outcome 3 and outcome 12. The NDP notes that all mandated oversight bodies should monitor adherence to professional ethics and recommend appropriate sanctions when necessary, referring specifically to the IPIB and the policing board. This focuses the work of the directorate to ensure that the police service is trusted by the community and such it contributes to a capable state. The directorate promotes a transparent and accountable police services through the investigation of criminal offences allegedly committed by members of the force. Metropolitan Police Services as outlined in Section 28 of the ICID Act. Correspondingly, in line with the NDP goals, the Directorate's strategic oriented goals is articulated in the 2015-2020 strategic plan of the Directorate are linked to outcome 3 and 12 shown there. But I won't go into detail to those, you know, like the strategic framework and missile priorities. Members can just read from their presentation. And I think I also won't go into detail to the MCSF period. They are listed there. Perhaps members can just look at their presentation. But what is important to note is that during the in the 2015-2020 strategic plan of the directorate, it listed those as sort of strategic outcome-oriented goals. In other words, it's going to link each of the resources to those strategic outcomes. The directorate indicated that its key priority over the medium term is to strengthen the investigative capacity, including by improving the quality of training for investigators and the guidelines, systems and procedures used for its investigation and reporting. The committee therefore shall request the directorate to explain its current training needs, analysis, its training programs, and then training service providers. And the question that arises is whether this training that is going to be provided, is it going to be provided by internal people? Is there internal capacity to provide, you know, such training? And another question is whether which institutions of hiring the directorate is going to partner with in order to achieve or to realize the strategic outcome. The directorate is also indicated in its annual performance plan and strategy plan that spending over the medium term will mainly be directed towards the development of specialized investigative skills through the establishment and operationalization of the National Specialized Investigative Team, the NSID. The directorate stated that in order to build internal capacity over the MTSF period, despite budget cuts, the National Treasury has reinforced funds to grow the NSIG. The committee members would request the directorate to provide more details on the NSIG. What is actually this NSIG? Is it going to be operational? Is it operational already? What kind or types of specialized investigations is it going to do? And also in terms of the profile of the personnel, who are those people who are going to be employed there? Are they vetted? And then in terms of command and control, who's going to, you know, like manage that unit? And where is the authority going to be located? But more importantly was the... but I think the more important question is whether the committee was informed about those defense funds before. The directorate should also provide more details about the operations of the integrity training unit, the ICU and the vetting units that I've alluded to earlier on. The question then,
as far as I understand, maybe they didn't give them the bulk of the allocation for that new unit.
No.
That was denied.
And also if you look at what are the different affairs by the National Treasury, but if you look at the appropriations bill, you know, it is not reflected there. For the 2015-16 financial year, the JSP cluster, as indicated in that slide, received a total of 157.5 billion, which is 23% of the total national budget. The total allocation to the JSPS cluster has remained stable over the past financial year, despite slight reduction of 0.4% compared to the 2014-15 financial year. And then if you look there in that table, the IPS received a main appropriation of 234.8 billion for the 2015-16 financial year. which is, if you look at that, the class size budget, the iPad allocation really represents 0.14% of the whole cluster budget. And then in this current financial year, which is 2015-16, that's the budget allocation for the territory is 234.8 million. Which, if you look at that table, you will see that really, in nominal terms, that is 0.4% compared to the 234.7 million that was received during the adjustment period last year. And then if you take inflation into consideration, you see that the territory's 2015-16 budget really shows a percentage decrease of 4.34%.
Only that's mainly the fact that we spent 26% of the budget in the previous year.
That might be the reason. The 2015-16 allocations to the program do not show considerable decisions from the last year's budget. If you put the two together, you'll see that there's no massive decisions. For instance, it was the case during the previous reporting period. Program 2, which is the core program of the directorate, continues to receive the bulk of the budget allocation. At 54.2%, it represents almost the two-thirds of the total budget allocation for the territory. And then, likewise, when you look at the previous financial year, current financial year, you will see that the administration program was allocated the second largest allocation of 31.6% of the total budget for the territory. And then the compliance monitoring and stakeholder management program also continued to receive the smallest proportion allocation with 1.9% of the total budget. The director pointed out in his 2015-16 AD that, like all other government departments, it was also affected by the budget reductions, a development that has compelled it to reprioritize. Due to budget cuts, the Directorate also reported that a number of its strategic objectives will not be implemented in the medium term. And this includes the expansion strategy and the ICT plan. Most of the Directorate targets in investigations as well as community outreach and stakeholder management activities have been reduced, as we'll see later on in the presentation. As indicated in the Directorate's 2015-16 EPP and also in the 2015 estimated national expenditure, the following are the key spending priorities for the Directorate in the NTFF period. Firstly, strengthening the investigative capacity, and secondly, compliance monitoring and stakeholder management. Those are the two spending priorities over the medium term. The appropriation bill did not reflect any amounts, it goes back to what the sector to say. It did not reflect any amounts that have been specifically or exclusively appropriated. However, according to the IPID, if you look at their APP and efforts plan, they are saying that the National Treasury has reinforced those funds for them. The committee will ask, therefore, whether the director explain implications on each operations emanating from a possible delayed implementation of the expansion strategy and the ICT plan. We recall that these are very important, you know, like sort of tools that can enable the directorate to achieve its strategic goals, and all that can enable it to contribute meaningfully to the realization of the NTP goals. So I think it is important for the Directorate to explain really how the delayed implementation of these two strategic issues will really impact on this legislative mandate. And then if I'm now going to zoom on the program, you know, like budget, I will start with program one, which is administration.
This is 9 minutes.
Okay. I think given time constraints, all this information is there on the document. I will just go straight to key issues that the committee might need to consider. All these, even the questions that I have are also included in the briefing that I propose for members, so they can quickly go there if they have any questions. So given time constraints, I will just jump straight to I'll just jump straight to I would just subscribe to the key issue that the committee should really consider. I'm of the view that, you know, that the committee needs to monitor and require feedback on the implementation of the expansion strategy and the ICT plan. And secondly, I do believe that the committee should really follow up closely on the operations of the newly established NCIT. Really, the directory should really explain further on what really this NCIT is going to do. Will there be any clearing of roads, or how is it going to work on the ground? The committee should really continually monitor the trend of under expenditure in the directory. If you look at from the first quarter until the third quarter, one will really notice that there's a trend of under expenditure, you know. This is really worrying. And also, if you look at the historical trajectory of the territory's expenditure, we see that really this trend of under expenditure during the first quarters of the financial year is really concerning, really. And then it raises a number of questions, whether that the territory is it able really to spend the allocated budget, or whether is it able to deliver this legislative mandate. The committee should also close monitor and request regular updates on the implementation of the IPRB recommendations by the chefs. Be quite sure, I do believe that the committee should request a briefing note on the cases that the directorate is dealing with that are emanating from the public order policing environment, more especially in light of the ongoing xenophobic attacks and the increased of service delivery process in the run-up to 2016 local government elections. So I think the committee should really monitor those cases and what is the impact of the directorate in addressing those. In conclusion, I do believe that the directorate really, you know, like on first glance, and I think it's more analyzing one, what one will say is that the directorate has been struggling with persistent underperformance and underspending since its inception of its new mandate through the ITID Act of 2011. And one of the reasons that was advanced is that this was largely due to the under-resourcing of the directorate, especially in terms of the human capital. But I think that cannot be an excuse now, because if you look at the funds that the director, or the main appropriation that was given to the directorate, you can see that really doesn't justify underperformance. The ITID has been able to fill key vacancies, including that of executive director, but now, unfortunately, there's an acting executive director. But nonetheless, it was able to fill, you know, the key vacancies at senior level, including, I think it has finalized the processes of appointing the 9 provincial heads. I think they have been appointed by now. But then it remains to be seen whether this really will have a stabilizing effect on the directorate's future, whether the semblance of stability that we see both in terms of leadership and finances of the directorate, whether it's going to continue or it's just a short-term issue. But I do believe that really, undoubtedly, the role that the IPID plays in professionalizing the police and the MPS, the Metropolitan Police Services, should really not be underestimated. And really, this really underscores the need to continue capturing the directorate. It really underscores the need for the committee to be vigilant in exercising its oversight role over the directorate. Thanks, Chairperson. I also remember for not going through those, but I think your package is there. We have the patch, so you can just quickly go through those.
Thank you, Tironi, for a very good presentation. Thanks for the audit. I'll just ask the acting committee advisor just to add two things, and then we will start with the presentation.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Good afternoon, Honourable Members. I just want to highlight, adding to what Simboni already said, I think looking at the budget of the IPED this year, it's critically important to note the reprioritization, especially in terms of the fact that they have no allocations made towards machinery and equipment, and the travel and subsistence budget decreased from 14.4 to 6.5 million. Which is a significant decrease. And one would have questioned whether the investigators will have enough resources to actually render the services that are necessary to render body IPEDs throughout the country. Also, members, the reprioritization and especially the lowering of targets for community outreach programs is a big concern for the committee. However, the lowering of targets is strange. We understand that they don't have money or have a budget reduction, but the ANZ has indicated in the file that they have several piggyback arrangements with various departments, so they didn't actually pay for these awareness campaigns, yet the target has been significantly reduced. And Chief Hassan, I think I'll leave it at that, as just then those couple of issues. And sorry, Chief, it is also the target for investigation from completed in 90 days has been removed the 90 days. So members should also ask why this has been changed, as the 90-day completion is a requirement by the regulations. And although the committee understands the capacity constraints of the IBIT, it should be clarified.
I think what is also concerning is the reduction of targets around, you know, like the public order pollution environment, you know. It's really concerning, more especially against the backdrop of the sky of police brutality. One would expect that given the xenophobic attacks, the number of complaints emanating from service delivery quarters, one would expect that instead of decreasing, targets under that environment will already exist. So I think the committee should really follow up on that. And also, since the directorate during this during the medium term is going to strengthen its investigative capacity, one was expecting that, you know, like this increase in the number of personnel was going to be met, so there was going to be a good balance between increasing personnel and also increasing the targets, you know, because you cannot justify increasing the number of personnel while you are decreasing, you know, like the performance indicators. Thanks a lot, Chief.
I'm just interested, obviously Robert McBride is still under suspension, I don't know how much longer for, but as they've been able to produce zero evidence of this alleged benefit, whatever it was called, extradition of whoever's, to court, should we not be seeing him back here today? What is the position? Does anyone know?
I think it's on suspension, and we'll just, you know, ask the ED to, you know, confirm that. I mean, in the civil service, you are suspended for 60 days. In that period, there of course will be investigation and discipline. That's the usual process, but we can ask, you know, the acting ED. Right, thank you very much, members. Let's ask our committee secretary to ask Aiko to join us. And please, members, that you drive, please help yourself with lunch. It's still available there for me. So please help us out.